You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Today's guest is Kale Nelson from the Faux Time Podcast. Kale, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Mark. Thank you again for having me. It's always fun to be here with you.
Oh, absolutely. Now, last time you were on the show, you gave us a really great overview of getting a ham radio set up. Now, you know, some folks are just so busy, they just don't have time to go and get licensed. But as you mentioned in the last show, one of the things we can do is we can still listen without a license. Is that right?
That is correct. There's thousands of frequencies that we can listen to, monitor, or whatever the word you want to use there is, to see what's going on around us at all times.
And what do you think is the best radio for listening short range?
You talking about for your local area?
Uh-huh.
There's a couple of variables, and it all depends on what you're wanting to listen to. If you want to listen to amateur radio operators discuss the weather or where they're going to eat lunch, because we talk about that a lot on the air, just a simple 2-meter or dual band radio will work fine for that. Even a little throwaway handy talkies you can get online really cheap will work for that. Some other things that I like, and I'm a former professional firefighter from back in the day, so I'm still kind of in that mode, but I always enjoy listening to a scanner. And again, depending on your area of operations, where you live, where you want to be listening, you can use a police scanner or a fire scanner. Some guys that even go to NASCAR races, you know, they have scanners that they may not realize they can use to listen to what's going on around them. So there's a couple of different ways to do that. And you can, go back to budget. You can start with the $20 yard sale find, or you may pick up a scanner at a pawn shop or something, on into the transceivers, the little handy talkies like you have and like I have too many of, on into a full-blown, programmable GPS-enabled scanner, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a bit.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the scanners. Our local dispatch in the county where I'm at, the police are on a trunk system. Are there still scanners that will be able to pick that up? And is that more difficult to set up?
Well, yes and yes and no. The kind of the go-to scanner nowadays, I don't have one of these simply because finances don't allow it, but the Uniden Home Patrol 2, it's their brand new or fairly brand new GPS-enabled pre-programmed trunking scanner. So what happens is you order it on Amazon for like $4.29 or whatnot, and it shows up at your house. You plug it into the wall, and you enter your zip code into that, and it goes out and finds all of the programming it's got inside it for your particular zip code. And you can tell it, I want to listen to the police, and I want to listen to the fire, but I don't want to listen to the local school districts, and I really don't want to listen to the garbage pickup guys. And you kind of tell it what you want to hear and what you don't want to hear, but it has that built into it. You can also plug it in with a USB cord into your computer and update the software through the Uniden website. But the neat thing about that and that's pretty neat into itself, but it's also a trunking scanner. And trunking, like you're talking about your local PD there, a lot of those, even my local area here in the upstate of South Carolina, they have trunking radios. And it's almost like a cell phone where the towers kind of tell the signals where to go and how to go. So a regular good old analog scanner from back in the day, you really can't hear what's going on through that type of system. The trunking allows the scanner to tag. It gives an ID to that particular transmission, and it follows it around wherever it winds up on whatever tower in the county. So it's it sounds complicated, but these newer scanners, especially the Unit and Home Patrol 2, there's a handheld version as well, but both of those are just almost like keep it simple, stupid kind of rigs, for lack of a better term, and they'll let you follow the trunking around, whether it's the trunking, the police department, a fire department, rescue, whatnot, state police, highway patrol, whatever you have in your area. As long as it's not encrypted, if it's trunking, they can keep up with it and you can hear what's going on.
Oh, that's super cool. Now, what about encrypted radio systems? Is there any way around that? And would you know if your local PD is encrypted?
Yeah, more than likely. There's a great website, and I believe I might have mentioned it last time through. It's radioreference.com. And this is like the scanner's paradise. You can go in here. There's forums. There's databases that you can download and determine what's happening in your area. There's local maps, so you can click on your county, or your state, rather. And then you can click on your county, and then you can open it up under there if you want fire or police or medical or even schools and municipalities, all those different things. And it even breaks down and tells you what type of system they're using. If it's an analog UHF, so it's 400 and some odd megahertz, or is it an EDAX or a Motorola Type 2 trunking system? In the upstate of South Carolina, actually the entire state of South Carolina, we have an 800 megahertz system, and it's called the Palmetto something or another, and it's almost like a statewide interoperable kind of thing that our highway patrol uses. There's four or five different big players in all this. And the best way to find out what would work best in your area is to either call the 911, not the emergency line system, and ask them what they use in the county, or go to radioreference.com and find your place on the map. And it'll have the frequencies. It'll have even maybe the code. Sometimes they list the codes that they use. Some folks are still doing the 10 codes and number codes. Other dispatches use plain text, like we're using right now, to dispatch with. So Radio Reference will give you a great reference point for all that you need to know about what are they using around me and what type of scan. That'll help you make the decision of what type of scanner I need going into that with the knowledge that you'll gain there.
And, this is kind of the high-end stuff, the expensive stuff that we're talking about here. But do you think people underestimate the need for a good battery-operated AM/FM radio?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. We get in our car, we've got a radio. We go to the kitchen, we have a radio. Most of these things are grid dependent, for lack of a better term. If there's a CME or whatnot and your car goes out, well, the radio's probably going to be toast there too, unless it's an old 50s model Edsel or something. The handheld radio offers you so many things. Number one being portability, two is low cost, and three would probably be the ability for it to be able to listen for a very long time with very minimal draw on the batteries. And Sony makes one. Radio Shack made a copy of it. And of course, when they went out of business, they all went away. I bought a handful before they closed, by the way, for about $3. But Sony makes one. I think it's $11 or $12 on Amazon. I can never remember the model number, but it's there on Amazon. If you type in handheld Sony AM/FM radio, it comes up. It's a little gray radio. Like something we had when we were a kid, Mark, but it is probably the best handheld radio that you can buy under $15 that runs on 10 light batteries and will run for a very, very long time. And in an emergency, AM/FM is a great place to start because you've got local news break in, you've got, the EDAX or the weather alert, weather tones there where they stop the programming and insert weather alarms and civil defense stuff. So a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to buy these handy talkies, or I'm going to buy this big shortwave radio, and you know they miss out by buying the really nice $12 radio that you could put one in every one of your vehicles in every bedroom in your house, and or maybe not every bedroom, but you could spread them out in your get home bag or whatnot, and it would at least give you a way to listen to what's going on around you with AM and FM, because some of the handy talkies nowadays come with an FM receiver, but they don't have AM. You know, and AM's been around a long time, and there's still a lot of news channels that operate on AM. So even if you're not a talk radio fan, which you probably are because you're listening to a podcast, even if you're not, you probably should have an AM radio somewhere that you can get your hands on.
And ambient weather makes a good little AM/FM radio, and it's very, very small. Fits really, you know, it's really good for, you know, space saving if that's something you're trying to do for a bug out bag. And it has a flashlight on it, and it has a weather band. So, you know, that's big too, because a lot of times, if there's any type of a natural or even man-made disaster, a lot of times the emergency broadcasting service will take over that weather band, and they'll put out you know, pertinent information to whatever the particular disaster is on the weather band.
Very good point. Yes, you're exactly right.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. We talk a lot about food storage on the Prepper Recon podcast, but just as important is knowing that you have a way to cook the food that you're storing. Sun Oven is a great way to cook with the energy of the sun, and they have a great deal for Prepper Recon podcast listeners. It's $80 off a deluxe package, which includes a turkey roasting rack, especially for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Just go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Sun Oven banner on the right-hand side of the homepage. And do you have any particular rechargeable batteries that you recommend?
You know, everybody likes their own has their own favorites. This may shock some. I actually have pretty good service out of the rechargeable batteries from Harbor Freight. And I say good service, and that's putting them in my kids' toys and then running them dead and bringing them back. And I've gotten a lot of life out of the batteries from Harbor Freight. Now, the ones that I like for my stuff are the in-loop batteries. I believe they're Panasonic or Sony. It just completely left me there.
Yeah, but I think they're Panasonic.
Panasonic's what they are. And you can, if you watch Costco, and I'm a big Costco fan. We have a huge family, and we go to Costco once a week to buy groceries. And they'll put these things in a package with a charger, with some AA's and AAA's, are generally about $25 to $29. Sometimes, you know, you can catch them on the 25 end if you're paying attention. But they're well worth it. The neat thing about the in-loop batteries is that they hold a charge for a very long time. So you buy them, you charge, they come charged, but you buy them, you use them, and you recharge them. You can put them in your get-home bag in your AM/FM radio, and next year they're still going to work for you. So that's one of the cool things about the in-loop technology. Is a lot, and I'm not a battery technology chemistry kind of guy, but by using them, they work really well for these types of scenarios.
And they also have more recharge cycles. I think about double or triple what you would get off of a regular rechargeable battery.
Yeah. You know, people say, gosh, I can't buy $30 worth of battery. I only get 12 or 15, whatever it is, you know. But the thing is that over time, it's almost like buying an LED light bulb for your house. It's $8 for the light bulb for one, but it's going to last you till your kids have children. So you invest now and you save over the course of time. Not only will it last for a very long time, it also uses very minimal energy. So, you know, the in-loop batteries are kind of the same thing. They're going to last a very long time. They're going to be charged when you need them if you take care of them. They're worth it in the end.
And the in-loops, they also have adapters that you can use the same, either the AA or the AAA, for a C-cell or a D-cell battery.
Yeah, they think of it all. You know, because they're all the same voltage. They just have, you know, different capacities. So, you know, my old shortwave radio from Radio Shack back in the 90s that I bought years and years ago, it runs on D cells. But you're right with the battery adapters, and they're selling them in the pack now at Costco with those adapters. And I think it's $29. It's worth it. They will work when you need them to. And if you're looking to buy some, you know, it's kind of like buying a water filter or something that's really not cool that your buddies are going to get excited about when you tell them that you just bought. But good rechargeable batteries are a very good prep to have.
Talk to us a little bit about shortwave radios. And is there a lot of stuff we can pick up in the States on shortwave and in English? Or are we going to need to tap into the hams with a single sideband? And how does that work?
Well, the shortwave is intriguing if you're nerdy or geeky or whatever and you like that kind of stuff. There's still plenty of English broadcasting out there. After the 90s, after Oklahoma City bomb, I mean, between that and Y2K, the lack of a better term, the militia movement got real hot and heavy on the shortwaves. And there were some really interesting programs back in the day to listen to. Most of those have gone away now, probably due to the fact that they're afraid that they're going to be targeted as some sort of homegrown terrorist or something. So those guys have probably just gone to the internet, which at the same time got a lot more popular. So it's a lot easier to put up a blog than it is to pay X amount of $1,000 a month to have your radio, you know, broadcasting, tell your show on the broadcasters there. But there's still a lot to listen to. There's a load of religious programming, Christian Protestant programming. Not that I agree with a lot of it out there, but it's there if you're interested. You want something sometimes really weird to listen to, there's some out there. In addition, there's still some Liberty programming on shortwave. And then you have a lot of different stations from all over the world that broadcast in English their news. You get news from China, news from Japan, all over the UK, the European Union, even Russia has English-speaking folks doing their news and even some, you know, I guess you would consider it some sort of entertainment. But it's I like listening to shortwave. I always have. I kind of got into it as a kid, and that's probably how I wound up in ham radio at the end. But there's still plenty out there for that. One of the things to think about regarding shortwave is that we sometimes in the States don't always get the whole story from our news media. And a lot of other countries produce news as well that you can go in and get their spin on it. And then if you're smart enough and you take enough time, you can take our story and their story and usually kind of decipher the truth between the two. So in times of crisis, when you had the propaganda machines in the U.S. running really hard, if you had a way to listen to foreign news, you may get a little different spin on the news. And it may help you make some better choices as you move through that situation. Now, you mentioned single sideband. That's another way to say that is SSB. And that's where the ham radio operators operate. And if you think about an FM or AM radio, you think of just holding your three fingers up, and you've got the signal in the middle, and you have a carrier on each side. What happens when you have a single sideband is you take two of the carriers away, and you just have one. So it's taking up less room in the pipe. So signals tend to go further, and they're able to be listened to at much greater distances. So if you have a single sideband enabled shortwave radio, now these aren't the hand crank, solar powered, charge your phone while you listen to, you know, Radio Havana, Cuba. This is the higher end, you know, $79 to $150 plus dollar radios, the Texan, the high end Texan, the Sony, the Grundigs. If they're single sideband enabled, you're able to listen to amateur radio operators transmit, whether we're talking with voice, whether we're using digital modes or even Morse code, or you can even decipher pictures and whatnot when they send it that way over the air with a single sideband receiver. And it's pretty neat technology. It's really old school, but it still works like a champ. And one of the reasons you would probably want to spend the money to buy a shortwave radio with a single sideband receiver is that not only could you listen to shortwave radio transmissions from here in the States and around the world, we've just talked about that, it would also allow you to get the ham's perspective. And there's a lot of work that amateur radio operators do in an emergency situation in times of duress and times of need. Hurricane season especially is a great example. Earthquakes like the one we had in Nepal not long ago. A lot of that traffic that the amateur radio community was traveling with back and forth would be found on our frequencies with a single sideband rig there in your house, no license needed. You spend $150 and you can listen to the hurricane hunters talking to the storm spotters, and it's a pretty neat deal. It just gives you another internet, for lack of better terms, or it gives you another set of encyclopedias. It's another tool in the toolbox that if you're going to buy a shortwave radio, I would strongly encourage you to buy one that has single sideband capabilities.
Kelt, that's great information as always. For folks that want to learn a little bit more about ham radio and all of these types of things, where can they go to listen to your podcast?
Well, the podcast I host is called FOTIME. It's FOTIME. And the address is FOTIMEPodcast.com, FOTIMEPodcast.com.
Kelt, thanks again for making time to come on the show.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me.
In the Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, a global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.